In my experience, for every 10 agencies that perpetuate internally, one or two of the kids will take the agency way beyond what their parents ever could.
Yeah.
Okay. Another one or two, they're going to maintain what mom and dad created, and it's going to be kind of plateaued and not move very much. But half of them will run the agency into the ground.
Ouch. That's not good odds.
It's not. And the issue is, are the parents doing everything they need to do to make the kids successful?
Right.
And unfortunately, the answer is no. We did a lot of surveys, and one of the surveys asked, how do you intend to perpetuate? And the options were perpetuate internally to a son, a daughter, a key employee, perpetuate externally, so you're selling to some third party. 75% of the respondents said that their plan was to perpetuate internally. In reality, 75% of agency owners end up perpetuating externally.
Welcome to the Insurance Stream. I'm your host, Abe Bowling, talking to John with Optimum Performance Solutions today, talking about perpetuation and what your plans are to do with your agency after you retire. Lots of different options out there. John specializes in perpetuation planning and agency mergers and acquisitions. He's literally written the book on it three times to talk about how to handle it. Lots of different complex issues addressed here in this episode. A lot of people plan on their kids or a producer or someone taking over the agency for them when they retire. But as we will discover in this episode with John, most of the time that plan does not pan out. There are things you can do to increase your odds to make sure that that plan does pan out for you, whoever it is that you want to take over your agency for you. But talking about different ways you can do that and the time frame in which you need to start participating in that process to make sure that you have a successful internal acquisition or merger, if that's what you want to do. So stay tuned. We're going to be diving real deep into this subject today. We'll be back right after this.
Are you an insurance agent needing access to more carriers? Insurance Professionals offers agents instant access to top national home, auto, commercial, and life carriers. Our free multi-rater allows you to quote all lines of insurance with one data entry process, and quotes are available instantly. Our program provides direct carrier access to agents, so there is no middleman underwriters to wait on. Simply quote your insureds with our free multi-rater. Pick the quote you want and log into the carrier to bind directly on their website. We charge no upfront or monthly access fees. Get started today at becomeaninsurancepro.com. That's becomeaninsurancepro.com.
All right, I'm here with John Persky. He is with Optimum Performance Solutions. They are a advisor for mergers, acquisitions, planning for perpetuation, for what happens to your insurance agency at the end of your time running it. John has spent the majority of his professional career in the insurance industry, lots of different positions, and you've been associated with a range of agencies from large to small. I understand some commercial lines agencies as well. And he is a national faculty member of the Society of Certified Insurance Counselors for over 20 years. And you are the Society's exclusive lecturer on perpetuations, mergers, acquisitions, and agency valuations. I think expert might be a little bit of an understatement for the credentials you carry, John.
Well, you know, what I always jokingly say is I've written the book on this topic. In fact, I've written three books on mergers and acquisitions in the insurance industry.
Wow.
And that in combination with the fact that I am a CPA, right, although I don't do my own tax return.
No, blame you.
I do understand all of the tax implications on buying and selling an agency. And just because you have your own CPA, and I don't want to do anyone's tax return.
Sure.
But there are some nuances, such as if you are a C corp,
yeah,
and you want to sell your agency, you know, most CPAs will say, well, just, you know, sell the stock. Unfortunately, most of the buyers out there don't want to buy your stock
do because asset sales.
Given their unknown liabilities
yeah.
or the fact that they would then lose the amortization. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in this series, we're talking with agents, we're talking to agency owners and, you know, educating them on the process, the options that exist right now. Because right now is, I mean, still from everybody that I've talked to, we're still in the hottest seller's market of all time when it comes to insurance agencies. And so, you know, we're looking at ways to, you know, maximize and take advantage of everything that these guys and gals have worked so hard their entire careers to build. And, you know, so what would you say is, for coming in, first of all, what would you say is the lay of the land for 2022 for mergers and acquisitions? Strong as ever?
I would say as strong as ever, probably fewer sellers than there were in 2020 and 2021.
So we've got a supply issue.
Well, there's a supply issue because the sellers in 2020 and 2021 were very motivated from a tax perspective because there was an indication that President Biden wanted to double the capital gains rate. So everyone wanted to get out. Now, in my opinion, in light of this being an election year, I don't expect any capital gain changes this year. And assuming the Republicans take control of the House and or the Senate, probably nothing in 23 and 24. The question is, what does the political landscape look like in 2025 and what happens to taxes? So you always have to be cognizant of that, not just from a federal standpoint, but from a state standpoint as well. Just this year, the state of Washington instituted a 7% capital gains tax.
Yeah.
Now, they're fighting over that, whether or not it's legal. So that's one issue. But luckily, for most agency owners, it would not apply to them based on the way the law is currently written. But you still have to keep that in mind.
Absolutely. So, and just out of curiosity, so we were an agency in Washington before we sold. What in that law makes it not apply to insurance agency owners, we think?
Based on the size and based on the fact that you are actively involved in managing the agency
okay.
or managing the business.
So it sounds like that law might be more geared towards like, you know, stock sales and stuff like that. Like if you own stock in a company and you cash out.
It's typically, you know, if you're a $10 million sales price and above, it becomes the bigger you are, the greater the chance it's going to apply to you.
Sure, absolutely. Well, and that totally makes sense from that perspective. Most insurance agencies, you know, they're like you said, they're actively owners and active owners. And then I think, you know, there's some that sell for that amount, but probably not the majority of them.
Right.
So looking out at you know, what options look like for agency owners? I mean, because you guys do perpetuation too. So I want to make sure to dive into that a little bit. But let's say that I'm an insurance agency owner and I'm looking at what are my options right now? I mean, obviously selling is an option. You can cash out, you can stay on board, you can get some stock options. You know, we've been talking about those different options in this series, but what would you say right now? And I know it'll depend on the agency owner's specific situation. What's the most popular option that seems to be making the most amount of sense for the majority of folks?
What I will tell you is when I wrote my most recent book on M&A, we did a lot of surveys. And one of the surveys asked, how do you intend to perpetuate? And the options were perpetuate internally to a son, a daughter, a key employee, perpetuate externally, so you're selling to some third party, potentially merge with someone else, hoping that they are then your internal perpetuation plan. And for some people, you know, just run it into the ground, because there are some people that take the attitude, I never want to retire. I'm just going to keep it. I'm going to service it work as little as I possibly can, not write any new business, and just in essence, run it into the ground. 75% of the respondents said that their plan was to perpetuate internally. In reality, 75% of agency owners end up perpetuating externally.
Wow.
And the reason for that is that either the key employee, the person they thought was going to be their perpetuation plan, decided, I don't want to be an agency owner. I don't want to perpetuate. This is not my long-term career path. Or quite frankly, they can't come up with the money.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm the seller and I need this money to retire, the issue is if I sell, it's one thing if you're selling to a son or a daughter, but what if I'm selling to just some employee? Or what if I'm selling even to another third-party agency, small local agency that doesn't have the funding? And they're expecting me to hold a note. Well, that doesn't give me the ability to diversify my assets. So I've got all my eggs in one basket. And even when an agency owner wants to sell to a family member, I always go, that's great. Do not hold the note. Mm-hmm. We need to take you to the bank and the bank is going to lend the kid the money. You're going to get paid off, you know, or at least get 80% of your money, let's say.
Right.
And that way, instead of the kid using the money, the cash flow of the agency to pay you off, they're paying the bank off. So if the kid screws up, it doesn't affect your Thanksgiving dinner.
Kids don't normally screw up, though, right? Just kidding.
I will tell you, in my experience, for every 10 agencies that perpetuate internally, one or two of the kids will take the agency way beyond what their parents ever could.
Yeah. Okay?
Another one or two, they're going to maintain what mom and dad created. And it's going to be kind of plateaued and not move very much. But half of them will run the agency into the ground.
Ouch. That's not good odds.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's not. And the issue is, are the parents doing everything they need to do to make the kids successful?
Right.
And unfortunately, the answer is no. When I lecture in person, you know, pre-COVID, I would always ask people who in the room has a child that's in college. And all these hands would go up and I say, okay, raise your right hand and repeat after me. I solemnly swear that when my kid graduates from college, I will not hire him or her. You've got to get that kid a job with a carrier or an agency in a different town. But I don't want them working for mom and dad.
Yeah.
Because mom and dad tends to overpay them, look the other way, let them get away with murder, and they don't develop the work ethic and the skill set that they need to make the agency successful.
Yeah, that's great advice. I've got one child that just became an adult and one child that is nearing adulthood. And that's good advice for me, but I think I tend to underpay them. I tend to like, well, if you're going to work here, like we're going to pay you less than you, you know? So, you know, that's the part of that, you know, would be though. And I think too, the relationship with mom and dad, right? Like, well, you know, cause when you give an order to somebody and they know realistically you could fire them, if they don't, you know, do what the business needs to have done, then, you know, there's different aspects of the relationship there than with somebody that's like, yeah, it'd probably be okay. Or somebody that maybe, you know, doesn't put away their laundry when they're supposed to or whatever, you know, the history of the relationship that you have with your child probably would be difficult right out of college for sure. How many years do you recommend that people have their kids work elsewhere before integrating into the agency if that's a goal?
That five or six years.
Okay. That's great.
And, you know, talking about this topic, one of my all-time favorite, this story goes back probably 20 years, but one of my all-time favorite agents hired his kid right out of school, was way overpaying the kid, probably was paying him double what I think the kid was worth.
Yes.
And dad's game plan was that he wanted to perpetuate the agency to junior. And I said, you know, junior doesn't have the skill set that he needs. You know, he needs to learn not just about how to sell insurance. He needs to understand budgeting, human resources, automation, all of those things to make the agency successful. You know, and in addition to that, he needs the work ethic. Mm-hmm. And I can teach all the other things. Work ethic is something that's not that easy to instill in a person. So dad's saying, I really want to perpetuate him. You know, why don't you have a talk with him about agency perpetuation? So I take Junior to lunch one day, and I said to him, I said, do you think that you have the skill set that you would need to run this agency? Your dad's built this successful agency. You have 30 some employees, a couple of locations. Do you have the skill set to run? And the kid was honest. He goes, no, I really don't. I'm thinking, good. So he realizes his shortcomings, and now we need to kind of develop a plan. And I said, so let me ask you, let's assume your dad's driving somewhere tonight and splat, he gets run over by a truck, he's dead. What's gonna happen? And this kid looked at me and goes, well, that's easy. I'm calling you up, I'm telling you to sell the agency, and I'm pocketing the money. And I looked at him and I said, no. I said, what's gonna happen is your mom's gonna call me up. She's gonna tell me to sell the agency. She's going to pocket the money, and chances are you're out of a job. And without missing a beat, this kid looked at me and said, well, not if she's in the car with dad. Oh. True story.
Oh,
this is a kid that just, he wanted the money. He liked the lifestyle. He liked the fact that, you know, all these carriers are sending the family on these award trips, but didn't have the work ethic to really make the agency successful. And eventually dad called me up and said, you know what? Tax law is about to change. Junior hasn't stepped up. Let's sell the agency. The agency was sold. The kid had to find a job somewhere else.
Sounds like the best possible ending for that story.
It is, but it's sometimes really difficult. It's from my perspective, it's a difficult discussion to have.
Yeah, it is. And I think too, you know, because we, as parents and as business owners, we get these dreams developed in our head of what things are going to look like. And then, you know, sometimes for things not maybe to pan out quite the way we expected, that's rough. So most agency owners are planning on internal perpetuation. Most of them don't end up doing that. Probably, you know, pretty much all of them that planned on it maybe aren't doing it. Tell me what the ingredients are. If there's agency owners listening, because it sounds like that's probably the majority of our listeners are like, I want to perpetuate internally to my son, daughter, producer, whatever. Tell me about the ingredients necessary to be those, you know, maybe the two that they perpetuate on to kids or whoever, and the agency maintains status quo and, you know, everybody gets paid and things work out, or those two where there's growth. What are the ingredients needed inside of an agency today to make that tomorrow a reality?
Okay. So the first thing, as I said earlier, don't hire the kids out of college. You want them to get that real life experience. The second thing, and you alluded to it a couple minutes ago, do not overpay them. Do not pay them a premium for blood. And in reality, I'd rather pay them below market rate, okay, to see if they really, truly want to take over this agency someday and have a game plan. My business partner, Becky, she does a lot of work with agencies regarding producer development. And the problem in a lot of agencies is they hire a producer and they go, okay, here are the carriers that we have, go get them. And there's no training, there's no development, there, and there's no accountability. They're not having meetings every Monday morning saying, what's in your pipeline? To have a successful producer, you need to do that. You also need to have a similar game plan for perpetuation. And it's not the type of thing that you can just instill in somebody in 6 months. So if you're 64 and you want to retire at 65 and you're going, well, gee, maybe I want to perpetuate internally, you're probably about 4 or 5 years behind the curve. That you should have started at least 5 years prior to retirement going, okay, how do I teach junior about accounting, about budgeting, human resources, and have a specific plan and realize that mom and dad may not be the best in those areas, but are there other ways to get them that knowledge, whether it's a CIC class or some other training and development course, maybe that's offered by a carrier, but the kid has got to learn. And it's got to be, it's not a light switch. It's not that mom and dad are running the agency and then, you know, one day they flip the switch and the kid takes over. Let's use a dimmer switch. So mom and dad start doing a little bit less and the kids start doing a little bit more. And over time, you know, mom and dad basically have worked themselves out of a job.
Sure. Would there be an option of a hybrid between the two options? So let's say that I'm an agency owner and I want to perpetuate internally, but maybe I realize as my child's parent what their strengths and weaknesses are, and I know that they don't have the skill set necessary to be able to do all the tasks that running an agency entails. Are there options out there where maybe you could get acquired and have your child who, let's say, is a hard worker, right? Let's say they're go-getter, they're doing their best, smart kid. But, you know, and then have them take, because I know a lot of the deals that with the national buyers, when the owners stay on, there's like some stock option there, right? So would it be something within the realm of possibilities to get acquired by, you know, the bigger place that's got the technology, they got the setup, they got the connections, they got everything you need to perpetuate the agency more than likely, and then have junior stay on with them with some stock ownership for what he's able to achieve? I mean, are you seeing those kind of deals?
Absolutely. Now realize there are a couple ways to structure that.
Yeah.
That you can sell 100% of the agency to, you know, one of the bigger buyers, and then junior ends up with stock in that buyer, but he's still an employee in that scenario.
Sure.
There are some other deals out there where a buyer will come in and buy 60, 70, 80% of the agency and leave the other 20 or to 40% in the hands of the seller. And then mom and dad can eventually pass that stock over to the kid. So now the kid is still involved in management. Sure. And they also are a part owner in the agency, in that specific agency.
Sure.
And I actually like that scenario better than selling 100% to the kids. And the reason I say that, and this is especially true for, you know, the $500,000, $2 million commission agencies out there, they don't have the resources that the bigger players have. They don't have the loss control, the risk management, the automation knowledge, things along those lines. So it becomes more and more difficult for the kids to compete. Whereas if they basically join forces where they retain 30%, let's say, now they have all those resources, they can go out there and grow. And I've seen a lot of situations with that where, you know, you get X amount when you sell 70% of the agency. When it comes time to sell the other 30%, you actually end up with more money than when you sold the 70, and people go, well, then I should have kept 100% of it. The answer is no, because you couldn't have gotten there on your own.
For sure. What would you say? So, because you'd said, you know, at best, your odds are 50% if you're having your kids take over. You're rolling a dice and hoping for a one, you might get a two, right? So when you structure the deal like we just talked about, from your experience, you've been doing this for, you know, how many years?
A long time.
So with what you've seen, how does that boost your odds for, you know, your successful retirement, your kids, you know, to have a more successful and fulfilling career? What do those odds look like after you structure your deal that way?
So you're talking about when we sell like 70%.
Right.
So typically what happens is, you know, the buyer comes in, buys the 70%. The mom and dad retain the 30% with the understanding and the agreement that 30% will be sold or will pass to the child or key employee. They've got to have the approval of the 70% shareholder, because if Junior's a loser, the 70% owner doesn't want to get stuck with him.
Right.
So assuming the kid's okay. And what actually will happen is the 70% owner in a lot of cases will fund the purchase. So the 70% owner comes in, pays mom and dad the 30% because it's time for them to retire. And then they hold a note to the children. And then the children have to pay off that note to actually end up with that 30%.
Sounds like a good deal.
Oh yeah. And I've seen situations where, you know, if you get the right amount of money, you know, and the 70% is adequate, I've seen where the 30% gets passed free and clear to the kids. Mm-hmm. I've seen where when the 70% is purchased, you know, you give a couple percent to the kids right then and there for their sweat equity.
Sure.
I was involved in a deal last year similar to this, where there was an office manager, and the office manager wanted to buy the entire agency. And I sat down with the owner and the office manager and I said, you know, you've built this great agency. Here's what the numbers look like. And I looked at Junior, at the office manager, and I said, you know, do you have $5 million? He looks at me, goes, no. I said, okay, let's see. I can probably get you a loan for, you know, 80% of the purchase price. So do you have $1 million? He looks at me, goes, no. I said, what about $500,000? John, I don't have any money. Now, obviously, he would never be able to buy 100% of the agency. What we ended up doing is we did a 70-30 deal. The owner felt such loyalty to this office manager that he gave the office manager 1%, just as a, you know, you helped me get here, here's 1%, and you're going to be buying the other 29% from me, you know, whether it's 5 or 10 years in the future.
Yeah. Well, that's perfect. So with Optimum Performance Solutions LLC, it sounds to me, because I'm looking here on your guys' website at optperform.com, and right, you've got a whole team of people, and you had said something about this lady Becky that, you know, helps with, you know, consulting with, you know, employees. You guys do more than just perpetuation planning and sales advising. Am I understanding right that you guys are consultants for the insurance industry? So no matter what phase of your career you're in, you guys can help agency owners fine tune, get things going more the way they want them to go, and point towards a successful exit. Is that what you do?
Yeah, and that's critically, critically important. You know, it is not unusual for me to get a call from somebody and they're like, John, I'm 65. I want to retire. Can you sell the agency for me? And I go, sure, but let's take a step back. I said, and I look at their numbers and I say, first question, have you done any financial planning or estate planning? And the majority of people say no. And I go, okay, so let's go out to irs.gov, find out how much you're going to get from Social Security. And now how much have you put away in a 401k, SEP, IRA, whatever? And how much do you have as far as liquid assets, maybe a stock portfolio? Now, so I'm looking for their liquidity. I'm not factoring in any equity they have in their home because they have to live somewhere, so they can't use that. And then I say, okay, let's assume we sell the agency for $1 million or whatever the number is. You got to pay taxes, you have closing costs, all that. So let's assume you end up with $700,000. So we do all the math, we add it all up, and I go, okay, now let's look at the 4% rule, which basically says that you can spend 4% of your liquid assets and never run out of money. Now, it doesn't guarantee it, but there's a high likelihood that you will never, you know, run out of money. And I look at that and I go, okay, based on this, you've got to live off of $80,000 a year. And I go, is that feasible? And they look at me and go, John, my mortgage is costing me $50,000 a year. Right. There are a lot of people out there that live right at their means or above their means, and they haven't put, they're not the squirrel putting the nuts away for retirement. So this discussion, talking to a financial advisor, figuring out how much are you going to need at some point in the future, shouldn't happen, you know, a month before you want to sell the agency. If you're 40 years old and you want to work another 20 years, you should still be doing those sorts of calculations, and you should update those numbers every single year with your financial advisor.
Yeah.
Now, let's assume that you approach us, you know, you say to me, John, I'm 60 years old. I want to retire at 65. Okay. And we work through these numbers, and maybe you can afford to retire now, maybe you can't. But one of the things that we can do is get you ready for when you sell 5 years from now. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's kind of like when you sell your house. You don't just put it on the market. You put in new landscaping, you paint, you want to make it look as pretty as possible, okay? That is not something you do in a 2 or 3 month period. Yeah, I'll tell you, a lot of agencies out there, the owner is the sole producer. Well, there's a problem with that, because when I buy that agency, I now purchase a wasting asset.
Yeah.
There's no new business coming in. I'd much rather buy an agency that's got a couple of producers, successful producers. Well, you can't do that 6 months before you sell the agency. That has to be done 4 or 5 years in advance.
Yeah.
You need to clean up your accounting. You know, look, I know what the agency owners do. I know about the fancy cars. I know about running the home cable bill through the agency and taking your spouse out to dinner and going, so how was work today? Oh, good. We discussed the agency. I write off this meal as an expense. I always want agency owners to have a departmentalized income statement. And even if they're 100% personal lines, I want it departmentalized. And I want the personal lines department and the S and F department. And S and F stands for soft and fluffy. Mm-hmm. So all of those discretionary expenses, the kids' cell phone bills, all of that put into that department so that when it comes time to sell, you have an accurate record of here's what the true cost is to run the agency. And here's all the other stuff that I kind of threw in to keep my taxes down.
Sure. Everybody that I've sat down to interview with, I feel like has contributed something a little bit different to this discussion, to the merger and acquisition topic. And you certainly have. This has been an awesome conversation. Lots of things that we haven't covered with other people yet, specifically internal perpetuation, because this is a huge, I didn't even know, you know, that 75% figure that you said at the beginning, I figured it was probably a lot. I didn't know it was that high. That's mm-hmm. a lot. And it looks like there's a lot of, you know, options for people one way or another. How can people get a hold of you and Optimum Performance Solutions and your team to help them start planning or helping them, you know, kind of sharpen their pencil and getting things pointed sure. in the right direction for growth?
So the first thing is if they go out to the website, which is optperform.com, they can see our email addresses. Feel free to reach out to me, reach out to Becky specifically. And we always joke because people call Becky about mergers and acquisitions and the website says, no, call me about that. Call Becky about workflow, strategic planning, loss ratios, sales plans, things along those lines. But, you know, and our phone numbers are out there, but I always tell people, don't call me. Because I am constantly on the phone with clients or I'm traveling a lot, meeting with agencies. The best way to reach us is send an email, say, hey, I heard you on this podcast. I'd like to talk to you about whatever. And then I will email them back saying, here's my availability. And we actually schedule specific days and times. So we're exclusively yours and we're not being interrupted.
And that email address, you can go to his website, optperform.com, but it is John, J-O-N at optperform.com. That's how I got a hold of him. So I can definitely vouch for the fact that he will email you back.
The other thing I would tell you is that if you email us, you know, Becky and I have a rule that I wish everybody in the world would follow, which is, if I get an email, that email, assuming I'm not in Indonesia on a boat scuba diving somewhere, okay. which is my passion.
That's awesome.
We always respond to every email within 24 hours.
And I believe you did that with me too. No, and I try and do the same thing. My goal is to keep my inbox as close to zero as humanly possible.
Exactly. But unfortunately, there are a lot of people that don't do that.
Oh boy. Yeah, that's be the majority. John, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And I hope that we can have you back.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day.